We're up to Siftes, and it's a good day. We're going to learn Kulas. So it's a day, actually, to look forward to. And this siman is very mesudar. We learn first the dinim of paspalter, the basic rules. Then last week we learned the issue of which breads and cakes it applies to. Taz's rule that anything that if you convey a suda, you would bench. There's a rule of Pasakum. And this week, from Siftes and on, we learn about the cooking, the baking. As last time, we learned about the product, the rules of the product, which products have a din of Apiyas Akum.
So the case is
not Nagea? It is Nagea, because the Taz Vav said anything that you convey a suda on, you would bench. If you are kaveh suda, then you would bench. Yeah, but that's what he says. Call kivan the ikav alay suda. If you would be kaveh suda, you would bench. So then you, then it does apply. So that's why it does apply to cakes. The question was donuts, which are fried. Generally, the rule is that things that are fried or cooked, we don't bench even if you kaveh suda. Somebody eats a lot of spaghetti for supper or lunch, he doesn't bench no matter how much spaghetti, because uncooked. Uncooked mezainis, you never bench, no matter how much you eat, even if you could have a suda. So that was the issue of the donuts, whether donuts have a din of afiyas akum or bishul akum. That was the issue. Rapelsky spoke upstairs, I think it was upstairs once, I heard on a tape of his question and answer type things, that he's misupik about the status of Cheerios, what's considered baked. The company says it's not baked, it's just toasted. The question is what toasted means. He described the process. He was not sure at the time whether Cheerios are considered baked or not, and if there's a Shiloh of Afiyas Akum, and whether he would bench if you could ask Suda. He was Mesupik at the time. All other Mizinus cereals, except for rice, I believe are baked. And then if you could ask Suda, you would bench the other types. What? Well, toasted maybe, no, certainly not bishul. The question is whether it's a fee or nothing, whether it's just it's raw, it's toasted a little bit. And it gets pretty dry through and through. Cheerios are.
So you
see
that both you and everybody on the bench?
No, if you kaveh suda has to be. No, kaveh suda has to. Suda means suda serva baker, means a chash of a meal. Kaveh suda doesn't mean that for you it's a meal. A lot of people eat a Danish and a coffee, that's the whole breakfast. If a person has a Danish and coffee for breakfast, he doesn't bench. Because even though it's his breakfast, but that's not
what
suda. What? Kaveh suda means suda serve a biker, a chash of a meal.
So
the
cereal is not good.
No, it's not. The amount is the amount you would eat in a chash of a meal. The gross says it has to be at least gimel v'dalet bayim, which is 6 to 8 kazesim. There's a certain minimum shear to be kaveh suda, to bench. No, even 2 balls is not. He's filling, but it's not the amount of food you eat in a chash of a meal. If you ever came down here for a kiddush and a meal, and you know, yeah, it's a dish shul, all right. But that's not a chash of a meal. You have to have a bagel with some lox and a Danish and a coffee or two. People are running, but a chash of a meal.
Bagel is
we're talking about the amount the person eats. So that. In the case of Cheerios, the suffix was if it's nothing, or that's where Belsky was a suffix.
It might be paspalto,
or it might be mutlachet chalon. Okay, we are now learning the series of kulas, 6 or 7 kulas, regarding the manner in which the baking of pas takes place and would be usur. And it's loizu afsu. The order here is each one an increasing chiddush. It starts with an easy chiddush and ends with an astonishing chiddush. Let's see. Siftes and Sifyut. First, hidlikai v'kechavim atan or v'afu b'Yisrael. It's easy. If a guy lit the fire, it doesn't matter. If a Jew put the bread in to bake, that's considered Pas Yisrael. Oy, second case, Shehidlik Yisrael V'afay V'kechavim. It's a little more of a Chiddush. In this case, the fire was lit by the Yid, and the guy did the baking. So since the guy did the baking, this is a bigger Chiddush. I would think that's called Pasakum. So saying, no, the Jew lit the fire, the guy did the baking, that's okay. Three, Oy, the guy lit a fire, the guy baked, and all the Jew did was to stoke the fire ma'at a little bit. How is that mutter? That's also mutter. It's the third kula. And the fourth, even if the Jew just threw him one piece of wood into the oven, the guy lit the fire, the guy baked the bread, hitir kol habasha boy, shena dover elias hacker shapasha lehen asura. The only reason the Jew has to participate is as a hacker. As a hacker, that it's not guy's bread, that the Jew is participating somehow. So even a symbolic participation is enough. Anywhere, but after the fire is lit. No, it has to be Makarav Bishulai. Okay, the Shach in your test says Ayla Kamon to me, give the Gimel some Kat Nechaz test. The Gra. Sorry, man, Ashkenazim. By Bishul, alright, it's a well known thing that by Bishul Akum, Svardim have a very different set of rules than Ashkenazim. By Bishul Akum, Svardim are very machmir that the Jew has to put the food on the fire. It's inadequate for the Jew to light the fire. That's by Bishul Akum, which we're going to learn in Kofi Gimel. But by Afias Akum, this is a rule that the Mechaber agrees with. So we'll have to see. What? This is anywhere. Yeah, even in the house of a guy. And there's no machlokes here.
Related question: that the Jew who does whatever he's doing has to be there the entire time if it's a restaurant, and if he leaves, the goy will relight the fire when he goes out, because it goes out in commercial places all the time. So I heard. And
okay, let's wait with that. Let's wait with that. Let me just finish the rules, and we'll talk about how it works in the what. The whole thing is a hacker. If a guy is right, the rule of Pas Akum doesn't have to do with the owner of the bakery or the owner of the dough. It has to do with the act of the baking of the dough. It's a hacker. It means it's a separation. You tell people that I can eat this because a yid had a chalik in it. It's not straight a guy. It's an arm's length. No, it has to be makarav bishulai. Even if it wouldn't bake, but it's makarav bishulai. It contributes to the bishul. That's good. And the Ramah, we'll get to that. And the Ramah adds v'mnafach pe'esh have a that even if he just blew the fire, but it has to be it did something, that's also, if you fan the fire, that's also considered Mekarav Bishulai. So we learned here four or five coolers, but we're not done. Sifyud is even now you can ask me, how can you have a bigger cooler than throwing an old piece of wood? Sifyud is incredible. Look at this. Im offer betanur ayidei v'kechavim gimel pamim b'yayim echad. The guy baked three times in a single day. V'chshiru atanur ayidei kisam, and they were mashur the first baking through a kisam. Kisam means a piece of wood, a splinter of wood. B'beis hapamim, the first two times. U'bapamas lishlishis layachshirei. And the third time, the fire went out, the guy relit it, and the Jew did nothing. It's still mutter. It's still okay. Why is it still okay? Because there's residual heat in the oven from the previous baking. And since there's residual heat from the previous baking that contributed to the baking, that's adequate. And we're not done yet. Even a bigger kula, Ramah. The Yeshayimim. Now listen to this one. Im hikshar atanur pam achas. In every bakery, certainly during the week, It's not oimid me'es leis. It doesn't stand eis leis in these 24 hours without heating. Afilu afu boy kama yamim. Even if the Jew lit the fire on Monday, and then they baked again Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, all without a Jew contributing to it, hakol mutter mekayach hesher harishin. It's all mutter because of the first Jew participating in the first lighting, and there was residual heat. We're talking now about a stone oven. I'm not talking about our thin-walled ovens where the heat is gone after an hour, but it means a stone oven where there's some residual heat. It's incredible. 24 hours later, there's still residual heat. V'yesh l'smaychalzeh. And the Ramah knows it's a bit cooler, so he hears the words, yesh l'smaychalzeh, don't be afraid. You can rely on this. Kama yamin, but each time it wasn't meis leis b'lo hesek. In other words, they baked from 9 to 5. So Monday, the Jew lit the fire. Then the fire went out at 5 and went on 9 the next morning. So within meis leis, So Tuesday's baking is good, and then Wednesdays, and then Thursdays, and then Fridays. What? No, he's not talking anything about Bittul.
So why did he require twice?
He didn't require twice. That was just the example that Mordechai had. It would be once and then twice would be the same. It's not talking about Bittul Barayv. Even if you know which breads were baked the third time, it's the same thing. That's just the example that he. What? Why did he need Gimel? I think that's just the example that he's recording. Mordechai perpays avay dezara api maisa. You see, it says in the Be'er Hagoyle, he says Mordechai perpays avay chavim api maisa. It was a maisa shahaya that. All right, so here we have these extraordinary coolers, and. First of all, this is the reason that Rabbi Heinemann wanted to rely on a light bulb. Rabbi Heinemann, in his one of the number of controversies he's been in, chidushim, I should say, that he's had in kashrus, one of them was this chidush, to allow a light bulb in an oven. You have to remember, their ovens are not like your ovens in the house. Those ovens that are used in these places are rooms. And whole racks are put in, they bake, and the whole rack is removed. And the light bulb in that oven, if it would be put on by a yid, Rabbi Heinemann held that would be adequate, because the light bulb gives heat, and our light bulb does give some heat, and the heat physically has to participate in the baking, has to contribute to the baking, and therefore that would be an adequate thing. Now, that cooler was not niskabel by others. Rav David Feinstein told me that the idea here is that you need a hacker of some sort. You need something that's done as a hacker that someone could contribute to the baking. It should be noticeable. And a light bulb, no one thinks of a light bulb as contributing to heating. Do people think of yesterday's hesek as contributing to tomorrow's hesek? I don't know. It's a little hard to know for sure. However, but it's never turned on by a Jew.
Once a year.
Okay. I'm not sure if the big factories they never shut the oven. I'm not sure it's so that if they bake 7 days a week, obviously you would have the heter. But there is a certain amount of issue as to whether the Ramah, when he says Yesh Lisvaychalzeh, whether his intention was L'chatchila or b'di'evet, meaning if the bread is baked, that a person could eat the bread, or that you can set up a hechsher this way in the first place. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that these coolers of the Ramah are not coolers only b'shas hadchak and not l'chatchila, and certainly the coolers of the second sif of Sif Yud are not l'chatchila. The Sechemet as well. The Sechemet says that these coolers of Sif Yud you can rely on for Ketanim, but not for Gedalim. Not something to rely on Lechatchila, the coolers of Sif Yud, and therefore it's not something that we would want to rely on Lechatchila. The bread is baked, you can be Sinech and eat the bread. But that's not Lechatchila, yeah. The. Yeah?
it's up for 24 hours.
It cools the oven and there's nothing.
But if a guy puts it on within the 24 hours, it's good. A guy did, nothing
happened. But that baking had a baking of the Jew,
yeah,
of the Jew seed.
Little, but the one that I do after 24 hours, that
so it sort of gave chius to the first heat. The residual heat after the second baking is attributed to everybody equally, including the Jew. Finish. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak. What's fascinating is the Shaila. It's a Chelek Dalet Simen Chav Ches. And he is done on whether a Jew setting a Shabbos clock on an oven makes it Afiyas Yisrael. Whether that would make it into Afiyas Yisrael. And of course, that would be a very, very convenient way of doing it. I know there was talk of having ovens set up in ways that by telephone you can push buttons and turn on the oven. Matter of fact, more recently there's been talk of doing that with the milking machines to be able to make everything Chol of Yisrael. To turn on machines over the phone by pushing a couple of buttons. What? The yeast is doing the milking. Push the button.
It should mix.
Yeah, I understand. All right, we'll get to Cholovak and we'll see why that would help. But the thing is this. If there's no Shabbos clock, it's just an oven, and I turn on an oven. How do you turn on ovens today? The bakers don't throw in wood except in the matzah bakeries. Well, there are other ovens. You turn a dial, you push a button. That's how an oven always goes on. So why should a delay make any difference? If the way ovens are turned on are by the pushing of a button, then why? Why? It's Afiyas Yisrael. What happens if he throws in a the Michas Yitzchak, who was the dying of the Eda Charedis of Meir Sharim, paskin that it's mutter by Afiyas Akum. That for Pas Palter, he says certainly, which anyway Pas Palter has a heter, you could rely on a Shabbos clock type of situation, and technically the Jew is turning on the oven. What? Do it with the code, and only the Jew knows the code. Okay, it's a good way to do it, and that would be an eitzah for Pas Palter. Whether it's practical and whether it's done, I don't know, but that it's an eitzah, it's a way to be able to do it. It's
the Shabbos, he holds that if you set the Shabbos clock before Shabbos, it's a Yisrael Avuna. If you set on Shabbos, it should go on 2 hours later.
Well, Mechzir Yisrael calls it an eitzah, yeah.
Who? On Shabbos.
On Shabbos?
Yeah, but it doesn't go on now, it goes on 2 hours later.
Mechzir Yisrael calls it an eitzah, right?
It's a groomer. He holds it an eitzah.
Really?
Yeah,
the
Svara that
Vishal
is always a delay.
Maybe
he
needs
it anyway.
Is it something? Okay. At any rate, these are the series of kulas. There's another kula here in the Shach Sivkot and Chav. See what the Shach says. V'yeshaimrim Kosev Hashareidura Dimu Mesupik Imichshi Yisrael Atana Eloi. Not only have all these coolers, but thrown on top of it, you know, Mesupik, did the Jew throw a piece of wood into the fire or not? The Mishri Yisrael Tanu Eloi. Shari, they have a suffix to Rabbanu, Lekula. They can't cause a Rabbi Tereskatas, Vishari Echreid. So not only are all these things mutter, but even a suffix of all these things are also mutter. Now the Gilyam Rasha here on the bottom says Ayin Simen Kuf Yud Shach Sukkot Chaf, I think. Right, Dina Shach Sveka Ois Chaf. The Gemara Masha tells you to look somewhere. The Gemara Masha means to ask a kasha. In the rule of Safik Drabbana Lakula, there's an exception. We don't say Safik Drabbana Lakula in a situation which we call Eschazik Isura, where something is Becheskas Isser, where the situation of Isser already exists. And it's a question whether a heter happened or not. That's an exception to the rule of Safik Drabbana Lakula. Okay, it's an exception because of Ischazik Isura. Just yesterday, after davening, we were talking about the Shaila I mentioned about someone who's on an airplane, Asar Batavis, someone who's flying to China, and during the Asar Batavis day, he's going to have daybreak. He's leaving Vancouver, British Columbia at about 3 a.m. It's still dark. And he's going to have, the way we calculated, we estimate, I have about half an hour of light, and then he's going to pass the first dateline according to the shita that holds Yud Beis Shais, the first shita of the dateline. And then it'll be another 5 hours probably, and he'll end in, he'll come to the coast of China. So at the most, he'll have a 5.5 day tainus, Fasar Batavis. Which afterwards someone suggested we do a shul trip to, I thought the expense is worth it, save it for a longer fast day then. But, so someone asked the question, why don't we say Safat Rabbanu Lakula? I told him to fast till he gets to the coast of China to be Eitz Bol Shitas. Why don't we say Safat Rabbanu Lakula? So I mentioned him, first of all, it's not so poshit the Rabbanas that have a makar in the Pasuk, the very Kabbalah, that we say stuff at the Rabbanah Lakula. But in addition, it's a Schaisa Kisura. He's already half an hour into the fast. And the suffix is whether the fast ends. By a Schaisa Kisura, we don't say stuff at the Rabbanah Lakula. Magen Avraham says, for example, there are certain kulas of Bein Hashmashes. That when Shabbos begins, during Bein Hashmashes, but Makam Hefsid, we allow people to do certain Rabbanas. Magen Avraham says that's only when Shabbos comes in. When Shabbos leaves at the end of Shabbos, it's a Schaisa Kisura, so we don't say Safid Rabbanu Lakula. Frekta, the Gilyam Rashah, here also. You have your oven that was fired up by a non-Jew. It's a non-Jew's fire. And when Mesupik, if a Yid threw in a piece of wood afterwards, it's a Schaisa Kisura. It's already an oven that was heated by a guy. So if you're Mesupik, it should be, why do you say Safed Rabbanu Lakula? So I would think the teretz is that the Safik here shouldn't be gepaskin based on the oven. The Safik should be based on the bread. Is the bread pasako or not? The suffix is on the oven, the suffix is on the bread. The bread was not a Schaisa Kisura. That would seem to be the teretz. It's reminiscent of the Machlekes Tanoim. When you have a mikveh, that's a suffix if it's kosher or not. It was, Pesach Svoya was leaking and somebody toiveled, and later there's a question as to whether the mikveh had the full mem sauce. So there's a Machlekes. If we go according to the Cheskes HaMikveh, Mikvah is the Cheskas Kasher. Or whether you go according to the Cheskas HaAdam, because the Adam is the Cheskas Tuma. So it's like Rabbi Yossi and the Chacham there in the Mishnah. So, yeah. Put it in, meaning the. Put in the pad. Well, when the year walked by, was there any Yisr? If it's baked, but if it's not baked, so right now it's not pasak. Right now it's a raw piece of dough, which is kosher. There's no isser on it. Question is, when the pas came into existence, was it pasak?
This pattern of throwing in a team saying it wouldn't work after the kosher.
Okay, that's we're going to learn in Sif next Sif. In Sif Yud Beis, we're going to get to that. The question is, if it's, let's say, Kamachal Ben Dursai, does it apply? So we're going to see. We'll see shortly that it's mutter any time it helps the bishop. We have a rule. We don't create Seikis Lechatchila. So lechatchila, you certainly should throw in a piece of wood. You can throw in anything. If you don't have anything, you just break off a little piece of the dough and throw it in, and then bake the rest of the rest of it. Anything that contributes to the baking.
Is it a matchstick?
A matchstick. Yeah. Okay.
So easy to recognize that this batch is being baked and
only baked. Yeah, it's when they take it out of the oven. That's how they know when to take it out. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
The question is, if they didn't, if they're mesupik, if he did.
Oh.
That's the question. That's the question. The pilot light issue has not come up here. We haven't discussed anything about the pilot light head to, which is only a question by Bishalakum. I don't know that by Afiyasakum. I'm saying that the heter is not mentioned here. The whole head, the whole pilot light head is Arman Bishalakum, not Afiyasakum. So we'll have to see when we get there. I'm not sure. We'll see. When we get there. Which from? No, that's not a pilot light. If the other stays hot, then that's a fire. It may be called a pilot light. You know, I went to one of our one of the places we give a heksher. They had a we have a mishkech tamidi there because the fire tends to go out. This is Bishel, not Afia. It's Bishel, and we don't rely on the pilot light heter like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, not to rely on the lechatchila. And it was an issue. This particular establishment cooked sometimes 24 hours a day, but often 20 hours, even in the middle of the night, they were cooking. Getting a mashgiach there constantly was quite an expense. And the issue was whether we can arrange for the slowest 2-3 hours of the day as a fleshika place, so from 9 in the morning till 12, there are certain slow hours. And whether we could have without a mashgiach. And our main concern, they weren't going to cook anything except for customers who came in. There are certain things that are cooked fresh. And we were talking about setting their stove, the dials, so that even when it's turned off, it doesn't go totally off. Putting in putting in a nail pretty much, so that when the dial hits a certain point, it can't go past that point. And I went down to see it. And the way, I don't know if this is all commercial places, the pilot light is in the middle of the actual burner. So that there's a burner, and in the center of the burner is the pilot light. Your house, it's not that way. In your house, the burner is, there are usually two burners and a pilot light in between. Here, the fire itself has a pilot light in the middle of the burner. That's not a pilot, that is a pilot light, but it's more than a pilot light. That's the actual fire on which the food cooks. So that, you don't have to put in a nail that it never go off. It never goes off. It has that light, that fire, which is constantly on. And that's not, somebody mentioned the pilot light in the oven. It's always warm. If it's always warm, that's more than a pilot light. That's a fire. And that's not the question. The shiloh of the pilot light heter is a separate issue. Whether the place you bring the fire from is a Jewish fire, whether that's adequate. But if it's actually heating, then that's as good as a piece of wood. It's no problem.
Home oven
is
pilot light.
It gives a certain amount of heat to the oven.
The pilot light, which is away from it. Oh, in the oven, the same thing. In the oven also. That's a pilot light, which is more than a pilot light. Very often they were not turned on by Jews. Sometimes people had shilas, but the evet, someone cooked, help in the house cooked, it's bishalakum, you have to kasha the kalim. So we asked them, you have a pilot light? They do have a pilot light. So they feel relieved. And then we asked them, who turned on the pilot light? Very often the technician who came to repair it the last time. Well, or you just make sure to turn on the pilot light. So usually when the ladies clean for Pesach, they either totally disable the pilot light or at least put it out and relight it. So. My house has pilot lights. The ovens both have pilot lights. Our stove's not that old. I don't know. We have a... I don't know. Okay, Sifyat Aleph. Sifyat Aleph. Pas shall Yisrael sha'afa yad kichavim b'li chitoy. All right, let's say in your house a guy cooked bread and it's aser and it was cooked without chitoy and now it's pasakum. So you're not going to eat it. B'loi chiti d'Yisrael, b'loi kisim, aser. V'aser l'zvunei la'ivik echavim. So you figure out, hey, look, I have all these cakes that the goita baked and I might as well go to the bakery and tell them, let them sell it to a guy. Never would happen today, but let's say... No, go to Geisha Bakery that they should sell it. It's also Dilma Asi Lizvuna Yisrael. Because maybe it'll end up coming into the hands of a Jew. If you cut the bread in half, then it's mutter. It seems, as I told you when we started this siman, that all bread was considered kosher. As far as ingredients were concerned, in the time of the Gemara, all bread was considered kosher because bread was flour and water and nothing, no other ingredients that could be non-kosher. And there was no kashrus issue, and therefore a Jew could go into a guy's bakery, and if he relied on past palter, he could buy from the guy the bread in the geisha bakery. If a Jew is going to take his pasakum, that is going to bake in the house, and give it to the bakery is going to sell it. The Jew who walks in will assume it's past palter, and he's going to buy it, and therefore there's a problem giving it to the guy. Now, if you cut it in half, it's okay because it seems it wasn't the derech to buy cut things. This is how right away the guy baked it.
He's not going to marry the baker's daughter.
You mean the old child, whether it could be masher? Nachinam, it seems from here that's a problem. Let me just finish the Ramah. L'chol pasha leid kechavim sha'aser. L'chei nagu shalai liknais chatiches pas meleid kechavim. The custom is you only buy whole breads, not pieces of bread from a guy. L'chashim l'chami pas iser u'machol lo Yisrael kach. You don't buy a piece of bread from a guy because maybe it's pas iser that the Jew sold him. Now clearly these things, not that the halacha doesn't apply, but the physical facts just don't apply today. Clearly bisman hazeh bakeries don't accept for sale bread that was baked in people's homes, and therefore the entire issue of this siman is pretty much academic. There is one kasha on this siman which I'm not sure how to answer. The answer may affect the halacha, but the question is, Avni Nezah has a kasha on this sif. Now what's the problem? If I go to a baker, a palter has 1,000 loaves of bread to sell, I'm going to bring in the 5 that my goita made in the house. He's going to put it up on the shelf. So now he's going to start selling. So why isn't it batel b'raiv? The bread that the goita baked should be batel b'raiv in all the past palter. And if it's batel b'raiv in the past palter, then it'll be then it should be. We're going to learn later. There's no davar shebe minyan by past zakum. So, so it could be, no, the Jew buys. When the Jew buys it, there should be a heter because it was bottled. But I'm not doing it so that it should be sold to a Jew. I'm doing it, you sold to a guy. The chash that I'll sell to a Yid, so for that, it'll be bottled already.
There's not going to be
maybe
in a Goyish bakery.
Why? There's a bit of leaf by cash. So maybe that it's nicker. Like the Mishnah in El Matzias, right? The Mishnah El Matzias is Pashal Nachtoim is Hare Elu Shaloi, and Pashal Balabayas. So it could be that Pashal Bayas is Nicker, but then Vaita, I don't understand. The Jew's customer who's coming in, he should just be careful to buy only the Pas Palter and not the Pas Shal Balabayas. Unless he thinks it's Pas Yisrael. Why would somebody sell Pas Yisrael? It's homemade. Anyway, as I said, Sifir Aleph doesn't really come up by us, so. So we'll leave it. Let's see Sifir Beis, which continues on these kulas. The question now that the Mechaber deals with is the question that was raised earlier. At what point in the process of the baking do we say the clock ran out and now a Jew throwing in the wood won't help? Obviously, if the bread is raw and it's in the oven already, a Jew throwing in the piece of wood will speed up the baking of the bread. You're all familiar with the expression of Kamaichel Ben Dursoi, which is really an expression for food which is nechel b'shas hadchak, which a person could eat if he had to, but it's not the preferable manner in which a person would prefer to eat it. Who is Ben Dursoi?
He's a thief.
So why was he zeichet to have this named after him, Michael Ben Dursoi? When did he become a tzaddik?
He married the other one's daughter.
I didn't know that part. Okay. Kamecha Reish Lakish. Bender Star. Okay, good, good. Okay. The, all right, so the question is, when it's already edible, does the speeding up of the, does the additional throwing in of the kisum of the Yehudi, does that still help to make her pass Yisrael? So let's learn the Mechaber. Well, it's an equivalent expression. I think the expression is used here by, is it by the Gra? One of the Mefarshim uses the expression of... we'll see. The Gra Chaf Hei uses the expression Michael Ben Nisai. Alright, Im Afai V'Kechavim HaPas. Here you have a situation where the guy bakes the bread without the Jews' participation. He didn't stoke the coals, he didn't throw in a piece of wood. Even if the pas already formed the skin in the oven, Mayol Chita Yisrael, the chita of the Jews still helps, calls a man. Anytime that the pas still needs the oven and is improved by the additional baking, it's still good. I tell you, we're all coolest today. Even if the bread was taken out already, there's an etzah to put it back into the oven by a Jew, im hu mashbiach, if the additional baking will improve it. I like a nice crusty bread. I like it when it's nice and crusty. What? And you put it back in the oven, that freshens it up. So here, listen to the kula gabi kula. Not only are we makel that if the Jew contributes to it a small amount, it's good. We even makel after it's karbo pana betanor, and not only that, even after it's already edible. But you're putting it back into the oven just to improve it. So here we have kula al gabe kula. The dakechuva is mesupik. The achashulchan are both talk about, are we makel two kulas together? Because if you're medagdik in the lashon, it says once you took it out, it helps if a Jew puts it back. So that mesupik, if we could take the two kulas together. First of all, putting it back. And even when you put it back, why is it the guy puts it back and the Jew only throws in a small piece of wood? So that is specific of Trey Kulei Lai Makalina, and if we can say two coolers together. But certainly the Jew putting it back in the oven, that would make them. Meshbiach. What's called Meshbiach? Does it depend on the person? That's a good question. I would assume Meshbiach has to be objective, that most people consider it an improvement. Burning it. I may like it, but the burnt matzahs, when we bake matzahs, I was one of the people that looks over the matzahs. Everyone has a different job. So I always had this box on top, and all the burnt matzahs I stuck into my box. Because we like burnt matzahs. So in the beginning, the people I bake with, they made fun of me. That the brisket. There are people that like burnt. It's interesting. There would be a. It would seem. If you take Pas Palter, it's a very interesting application. You take Arnold's bread, certainly the white bread, which I think tastes like, I don't want to say straw, but tastes very, and you toast it, certainly improves it. So toasting it, it would seem that it would be good. That's Mashpiach. Is that afia? It's interesting. Ramesha has a tshuva in which he says toasting is not afia, it's just the miyavishit ba'alma. Ramesha held that on what? A toasted Cheerios, you mean, if it's baking. Ramesha writes such a thing that Ramesha held a toaster doesn't have to be tabled. Because he said that toasting doesn't do anything, it just dries it. I don't know. If you just dry it, you're right. But if you like that brownish finish, the crunchy finish, it would seem to be an improvement. It would seem to be a good application of this cooler. See, when you're thinking coolness, you get your imagination going. Right, here we'll make them. Here we'll make them. If you would. Interesting. That seems to be the cooler. There are no mafarshim on this. Everyone seems to accept it. The only thing is the Gra. The Gra says, "The lahakel amru achak Michael ben Dusai krochav hay." That's why I said he uses the expression Michael ben Dusai. So the Gra, it's interesting. He says lahakel amru achak Michael ben Dusai niklo. When it's a kula, we say that if it's Michael ben Dusai, what you do later is nothing. On Shabbos, if it's Michael ben Dusai, afterwards, so lahakel they say niklo. Avakruve bishulei di Yisrael loyla mahani. But if a Jew is Bekar of Bishulai, it helps. Kamai Sham, Rusham, whatever. Bishulai Mahani, Afilachitui Maat, Kiniskalel. Right. We say it both ways, Lakula, so it sounds like it's. By Bishul, it's also Mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel. There it says there are two sheets. In Bishulai, Vikachavim, Kamachab, and Nusai, Vigami Yisrael. Mechabi says Yesh Lesar. This is much more than that. Here we're saying it's ready. It's ready to eat. It's edible. It's edible, oh, servable, it's sellable. Yeah.
Just putting it in for a little.
All right, so we're going to. I told you when we started, it's a day of coolers. We're going to top off all these coolers with Sifyad Gimel, which is the biggest cooler of all. And it appeals. This Sif, I found, has a certain appeal to that liberal bent that somehow in the back in the neshama of every yid of being tikkun ha'olam. And listen to the kula here in Sif Yud Gimel. Now before we start, I have to tell you, it's unclear if the pasaka we're talking about here is pas palter or even pas balabayis of a guy in cases where it's mutter b'shas adchak. Let's just assume that it's talking about pas palter. Kusamaches. Perhaps. Yeah, take a Mishnah Berurah if you want. But let's first learn what it says here in Sif Yud Gimel. Mishayinai nizer mepashal oivik kechavim. You have two people. One person who's not careful about pasakum. He eats Arnold's bread. Arnold has a hechsher. Huh? Yeah? Or Thomas is. So he eats it. Shehesiv eitzel balabayis ha nizer mepashal akum. And the host is someone who's a machmir. He doesn't eat pas palter. And the guest is a mekel. He does eat pas palter. Vala shulchan, and on the table in front of them are two breads. Guess which two? Pas Yisrael, the pas that comes from a Jewish place. Upas shalai v'kechavim hayofim mishal Yisrael. And pas akum, which is better tasting than the pas Yisrael. Maybe it's today's, how it got there. The guest brought in bread or however it got there. So what do you eat? What do you give your guest? The better bread that he's makel on, or the inferior bread, which is a chumrah? So listen to what it says. Yivatzeya balabayis min hayofer. Not only the guest could eat the pas palter, the pasakum. The balabayis eats, makes his hamaitzi on the good bread. Umoter b'chol oisa isuda b'pashalayge kechavim. We're saying the guy's bread is better. That's the case here. So he's allowed not only to make the hamaitzi on the guy's bread. He should make it from the yafeh. And not only is he allowed to make hamaitzi on it, but he's the whole meal. The mafarshim say it's a bizarre. You're going to make hamaitzi on the bread, and the rest of the meal is not good enough. So that whole meal he could eat from this bread. So what it means basically is, I'm trying to be machmer on this. I never had Arnold's bread. If I invite you once for a meal, please bring along some Arnold's bread, and I'll see what's good about it. I'll be disappointed, I think. But anyway, that's me also. Okay, probably. Now the question is really, what's going on here? What's the story here? What's why does the host have to be nicer to the guest? And we understand the host should be nice to the guest. Maybe the guest should be nice to the host. It's better tasting. But it appears from the way the Shulchan Aruch is brought that if the guests were not here, that I only have to make my maitzi on the best bread, but the only thing that comes into the thing are the things that I plan to eat. I don't plan to eat this. I don't have to make a bracha on that. I make on what I eat, and then I do it. It seems here that for the honor of the guest, the host does this. It's more yafif. If there were no guests, what? Who says? Zeiss? Taz, you're talking about. Sifbez. Oh, Sifbez earlier said it's mutter. It didn't say l'choyev. Yeah, I understand. But there, the Shach said that it should be machmer. Right? The Ramah said shari. We're talking about the machaber. It's normally machmer. Yeah. The
I
understand. We're talking about someone who's machmer that he's not saying mechana mekila.
So,
what? Chavisol is a separate issue. We're talking about this, so we understood this. Maybe we could get into the comparison. Now, it sounds like that's what you're supposed to do. That's what it sounds like. Okay, the Taz and Shach here. The Taz and Shach here bring a bit of a tumult over what is cool. It's known as the Kulas HaRavya. The Kula of the Ravya, one of the Rishayim. There are those who disagree with the way the Shulchan Aruch brings this kula. They hold it's even a bigger kula. They hold, and that's the Trumas Hadesh, and the first half of this Taz maintains, this has nothing to do with a guest. This halach is any time. If you're sitting down to eat, and you have two breads in front of you, an inferior pas Yisrael and a superior pas Palter, a Shalgai, that a person should make that mitzi on the superior pas Palter of the guy because of that.
Why?
He says, not the Mechaber. I'm saying it's not like the Mechaber. This is the Taz Ches brings from the Beis Yosef, from the Trumas Hadesh, rather, that's the case. And then the Bach seems to hold that's the Iker, that's a bigger kula. He's saying that the hinder and the hamaitzi is more important than the chumrah of not eating past the palter.
Why doesn't say you're supposed to make a motzi from the crust first?
Right.
You're supposed to take from the bad part first.
No, the good part. The good part. That was called the good part.
What?
Some people like that.
You're supposed to use even the part that you don't like to show that even that you could use first.
I don't think so.
And it made such a big deal. Menashe was a...
But anyway, the Mechaber clearly holds of this kula, even though there are those who hold that the kula has nothing to do with the guest. However, as a matter of halacha, the Mishnah Brura and Simchos Tamaches explains that this applies in the communities where their custom was. It says in the Gemara that the way they used to make hamotzi was the balabayis was beitzeah, and he gave everyone the bread that they would eat for the meal. In other words, it's many homes they do this for Shabbos, for the lechem mishnah, because not everyone has lechem mishnah. The custom was the balabayis would cut up the bread and give everyone. As a matter of fact, the Shulchan Aruch says he would give everyone a piece of bread big enough for the entire meal. So in those situations, the balabayis would be beitzeya, and the guest would get whatever the balabayis had. So the balabayis is going to eat the pas Yisrael. The guest is going to get pas Yisrael. The balabayis will take the superior pas palter. The guest will get a better piece of bread. So there it applies. Mishabura says, Al-Vazman HaZeh, that everyone eats whatever they want to eat. You have bread on the table, and people take whatever they want. The guests don't necessarily eat from the bread that the balabayis is beitzayon. He says, in such a case, so this heter falls, the lundus of the heter is still true. But the practical thing, everyone takes what they want. So therefore, it doesn't apply. And certainly, when you're talking about a cake for dessert, let's say, which is not pas Yisrael, and certainly there, everybody is served on a plate, a piece of the cake. So if the Baal Bais doesn't eat, it's... Right. No, but their point isn't the hefsek or not. Their point is that in the time that and communities in which this was written, the guest only ate from the bread of the Baal Bais. He didn't eat his own bread. He didn't eat the different bread. So that's where it applies. So
you don't know what to bring when you come.
You know what to bring when you come. No, but the whole thing falls away. The whole thing falls away. Although I wonder, imagine how it would look if you have a family. I have a family, let's say you have 10 people around the table, and I have a guest. And the guest brings a cake. And we're all right, it's pas palter, so we're not going to eat it. We'll just put a piece on a plate, we'll give it to him. And the 10 of us, we're going to have ragaluch. So, I don't know. If it's for the covet of the reyach, so I would assume that it depends on the situation. No? It wouldn't apply. What? The guest is coming back with something better next week, I hope. We've had guests who brought us, let's say, a wine, and it wasn't a heksher that we use. So what do you do? I don't know. You just put the wine in the kitchen and you eat the meal. It's not a heksher you use. It's, we're not talking about a chumrah. But okay. At any rate, the musr here is very interesting musr, that the Baal Bayis has to be more sensitive to the needs of his Zayreach than the reverse. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, says that this only applies to a guest. If you have a member of your family that's Mekel on Pas Palter, let's say you have a family that's always Mekel, and then the father decided he's going to be Machmer on Pas Palter, and it's a member of the family who's Mekel, then the Baal Bayis doesn't have to be Mekel like his guest. That's not an Ireach. Member of the family.
The guest brings wine to you.
I don't know. The Lashon Aruch HaShulchan is, it doesn't apply to B'nai Beisai HaMekilim. Whether a married guest is called B'nai Beisai or not, I'm not entirely sure.
It's
a
wine that you won't use, but in order that he's not over this or carrying, he has to drink from that.
At that point, whether you drink from it or not.
Does it matter?
No. Now you say, does the saying Kof Samech Ches, this applies to Pas Palter? Pasakov. Okay. Bizman Hazeh, he says not that. The only question that I leave you with on this sif is the initial question, why a Baal Bayis has to be more concerned with the covet of the guest than a guest be concerned, like you might say the reverse, if the guest is Machmir and the host is Mekel, so the guest could be Mekel. I would think just the opposite. It's a bigger bazillion. The guest comes in, he says, no, your stuff is not good enough for me. I would think like it's more of a bazillion that way, no? And,
the guest is
what? So we're talking dafka about such an Ireach who's, there's a din of Achmas Sarkim, not a friend who's visiting, only a, I don't know, what? It's better, but you could have the case where the goy's bread is yafa and the Jew's bread is inferior, and the guest is the one who's machmer and the host is the one who's mekel, and you could say you'd say that the guest could be mekel like the host, and the Bechabe says the reverse.
If you don't know, you can feed him.
Oh, because you said if he doesn't know, you can feed him anyway. The chikikai life, maybe. I think that's why the Bechabe left out. I don't know. I remember I was in Switzerland once for a chasana. I slept in someone's house. We ate breakfast. And I asked him if the milk is Chol Yisrael. I didn't mean to insult anybody. I just told him I'm Machmer Chol Yisrael. I told him the milk was Chol Yisrael. It was a home that, you know, you don't judge people that way, but judging by the way they dressed, in America, that circle does not Machmer Chol Yisrael. The fellow was terribly insulted. Chol Yisrael? Said, you know, we only have milk 4 days a week because we're Machmer Chol Yisrael. We get milk from France and Switzerland, I don't know where the king of Israel, and it only comes, and by the time it comes, it's only good for 2 days, and we get it twice a week. We only have milk 4 days because of Israel, he tells me. So he's very insulted. So I found out later that in Europe, nobody is saimach on this idea of stam cholov. And smaller dairies, whatever reason. So he was in store. I had to explain to him later and be mafayis him that in America there's a heter and everyone's makbid, but only in America. So, because the law is different here, or the maybe the supervision is different, penalties are harsher, whatever it may be. So, all right. So I don't know. I think you should be careful with your hosts covered also, and the guests covered. But anyway, we learned three sets of coolers here. That the manner in which the oven is heated, tremendous coolers. The fact that it helps even after it's already edible, the bread is edible. And then the coolers here of Sifyut Gimel. All right, next week we'll finish the Dinam of Pasach.